This Kennedy Malloy catch-up podcast means you can take the show with you anywhere. Industry fun lucrative. Make it super easy to take your super with you when you change jobs. Read the PDS at lucrf.com.au/changingjobs. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Friday edition. That's right, you heard it. Friday,
it's my already
favourite
Friday
day of the week.
Hooray for
edition
us.
Edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
How are you guys?
Let's good,
boot
Dave.
This baby home for another week with a top shelf hit out.
It is going to be a great hit out. Who's won Powerball?
Three
Division One winners.
Two have come forward. The other could be in this room.
It could be.
Whoa.
Who knows? There is one
region in Victoria.
Oh, that's the other winning.
We might ring around.
That's a good idea.
And see what people are up to.
I love Fridays.
We've got Clown of the Week coming up.
That's right.
Edge Fuller Zugug.
Exactly.
George Columbaris might get a mention.
He may indeed. There's a few people who might get a mention this week, and even the President of the United States. Does he get one this week?
He'll get one.
I hope so.
Titus O'Reilly will be one of our
news.
guests today. I love Titus. Funny guy. He's on a national tour. It's all about sport and comedy for this bloke.
Brilliant.
Strap yourself in.
I've got a chick flick alert that is of the highest order.
My God.
I thought you were the first person I thought of when I saw this trailer.
Listen up, boys. Stand by your radios. This is a community service announcement. Don't go near a cinema
when
you hear what we've been up to.
Very, very special guest today.
Well, we're overexcited.
We are. Well, why wouldn't we be?
A true national hero.
Our very own Australian astronaut. Andy Thomas.
He's
going to speak with us.
Adelaide's own, our first Australian astronaut. He's a giant figure in the last 50 years space travel, which will be celebrated on the show tonight.
That's right, on Sunday, the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
All right, we'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, we'll get
July.
Cracking. Isn't it fantastic? Now, you've made a film about...
We did make a film about...
called The Dish, which is a great film.
I believe it's screening on Channel 10 tomorrow night.
Oh, awesome.
I think, yes.
Very, give it a look.
If you haven't seen it before...
Brilliant movie.
Thank you.
But really is.
It's quite an education, very simply.
And largely true.
It's not a documentary, everybody.
It's not a documentary.
It's entertainment. Let's get that straight.
And it shows you Australia's part, small part it played.
I think the
world, the history of the world.
I think Rob Sitch mentioned when he was on. Have you heard of him, Rob Sitch?
Rob Sitch.
Yes.
Yeah, the brains.
I know him. And he said that Tom.
How well do you know him?
Well, you know. Oh, I don't know. He's
Can you introduce me?
I shall.
I've always been a fan.
He had said that the story wasn't. I remember
like his
this.
Nutty style.
Well,
is that what he's saying?
Yeah. Tom Gleisner came to the team at Working Dog one day and just said, "Did you know about Australia's involvement in the Apollo 11 mission?" They go, "What? Australia? What? How could that possibly be?" And it was through a satellite dish in Honeysuckle Creek and in Parks.
Yep.
And they helped to get the pictures to the world. Now, I don't think anybody would have believed it would have happened if we hadn't have seen those pictures. And the fact that they did it in 1969.
Wow.
And the conditions, this is the dish, the movie show.
I still can't get SBS.
Well, we can't get people with waiting for MBN. People can't. We get delayed when we interview somebody in LA.
Right. Yes,
we can't even do a bloody call. And the President of the United States, Richard Nixon, spoke to Neil Armstrong. To the moon.
That's nuts.
Well, it's nuts.
Rob Sitch has spoken to Neil Armstrong, which I find fascinating.
Well, I think he received a letter from him.
Same deal.
Had a comment. Yes,
that's unbelievable.
Hey, it's a good story, and I like the film a lot. We're going to celebrate. We can't wait to speak to Andy Thomas shortly. Can we play now? And I think you put the music together for The Dish, did you not?
I did.
Okay.
But there's great music from 1969, I tell you what.
All the way through it. Yep. Can we play one of my favourites?
Yeah.
Which is almost the theme for the movie, is it?
It is. I think it would say that. And it's, of course, Russell Morris's amazing song, The Real Thing.
Yes.
And produced by the great Molly Meldrum.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Can I just quickly tell you a little story before we go to it? We were previewing The Dish and we were showing a few friends and family and we thought we'd invite Molly and Russell to come and watch it. And I sat behind them and... As the film started and they heard the music, they just put their hands on their mouths and they looked at each other and they turned around and it was a really emotional
moment. It is. It's a great tune from the year of the moon landing.
That's right.
It's
What, do you think we would put a tune in that wasn't 969? I'm very, very motivated.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane and her underlings wrote a movie.
It's called The Dish.
8:30 tomorrow night on Channel 10.
What a great way to remember the moon landing, to sit around with your family and pop that on. If you haven't seen it, have we got a trailer? Yeah.
Without power.
Control panel's dead.
Sorry, folks. Have it fixed in a jiffy.
Without a signal.
Let me get this straight. You've lost Apollo 11.
Without a clue.
It's on its way to the moon.
They did what many a seasoned broadcaster might have done.
I'll just have to reorient the...
How's it going?
They lied.
Great movie. Okay, I'm going to watch
Let the games begin. It's a load of fun. The clock's ticking as the Eagle gets closer to the moon.
I think there's a few celebrations, actually. We'll do a shout-out to Parks.
To Parks?
Because I think they're doing a screening at the cinema up there. So
did they play cricket in The Dish? Tell me.
I don't know if it was a regular thing because those guys, John Sarkisian, who was in charge of the Dish at the time, I think they're very... studious men, and they wouldn't do that. Mm. We played cricket on this.
Oh, you did? Right.
Yes, we all did.
Can I say this? I fell in love with this film as soon as I saw Sam Neill in the cardigan. You can't go wrong.
Who doesn't love Sam Neill in the cardigan?
Smoking a pipe. Yeah. Hello. All the heavy lifting's done.
Good on.
Hang about for that. Mm. Andy Thomas coming up in the second hour. We're very excited. Clown of the Week around the corner.
Yeah,
but
great.
Get to the top.
Yes.
Powerball. We had a ticket.
We did.
How'd we go?
Okay.
So we had a ticket. By the way, three winners, two identified, one not identified.
One's still up for grabs.
And we'll be talking to some people, news agents in that region in a minute.
Mm. Okay, How did we go?
I was excited. So $43 ticket.
Actually, yes, it was $43 ticket for you and I.
Yep.
And total winnings?
Yep.
Zero. However, my family ticket.
Oh, here we go.
That I did buy a few days before.
There it is. Really?
Won $37.50. Yes.
That.
That sounds a bit dodgy.
It's not dodgy.
It's dodgy. Show me the receipts.
I've shown you the receipt. There's the one that we bought.
Oh, I can't see
that
from
was
there.
Yesterday.
She's holding it away. Yes.
And that one is the net result. And I bought them from different places on the web. You know, I'm on my online.
Well, what are you going to do with your $37 bucks? You've got to spend that so that's got a bottle of rosé written all over it.
No, yeah. I can always do that.
Reinvest it for another ticket.
I might get I might get some gels done on my nails. They need redoing. Or if
you go in there and get your Botox done.
You know I'm going to get my Botox done, but I just needed to have a bit of time up my sleeve in case things go wrong. Mm. And I have that.
Droopy eye. You look good with an eye patch.
I think I would. I'm not ruling it out.
All right
now, so if you win, we need to find out because the Macedon region, Victoria, there's somebody in their area.
Sitting on $36 million.
So we thought we'd get on to all the news agents in the area.
Apparently the area's gone cocoa bananas and everyone's checking their tickets in the Macedon region, heading to their local news agents. Let's speak to Kevin from Kyneton. Kevin, you run the news agency there. Are people queued up trying to get a reading?
Yes, everyone coming into the shop to check their tickets.
And how are you going? Do you think you're a chair? Yes. Do you think you sold the winning ticket?
Yeah, I hope so, because I haven't sold any of the Division 1 in my town.
What? Oh, yeah, well, not many people get to do that, Kevin. It'd be a big deal. That's funny. So you're telling me that people can't look up online their numbers and they're coming to you to do the beep, beep?
But that's what I do.
Oh, yeah, that's what you do.
What am I going to do?
Most normal people can find out beforehand.
Oh, what am I going to do? Hey, shut up, Kevin. Don't fall in with her. What do you want but expect me to do? What, go through it line
There's an
by
app.
Line.
You can just put your numbers into an app and you can find
how
out
do you,
whether
how do you get
you're
going to.
Oh, for God's sake. Kevin, that's what I'm dealing with. Thank you for talking to us, Kevin. Rebecca is at the Gisborne Village News Agency. How are you, Rebecca?
Hello.
What's happening down there? Is it battle stations? Is it people running amok?
Lots of excitement, people checking their tickets, and of course we're all excited too. We would love to have sold the big one.
Wow. Now, did you buy a ticket yourself?
Of course.
Right. And is that allowed? It's not some kind of insider trading or...?
No, we are allowed as long as we're served by someone else and we pay the same price as everyone else.
Now, will they eventually tell you from the lotto people, will they say which agency it was sold through?
We believe tomorrow we will find out which agency sold it. So, yes, I'd love it. I'd love if it was us.
And that'd be great.
I hope it is, Rebecca.
Good luck for that.
Let's check in with Darren at Woodend. Darren.
How's beautiful Woodend going?
What's going on, mate? Is the excitement palpable?
Oh, it is, mate. Yes, it is. It's been so for the last 2 days, actually buying and checking.
Right. Now, are people coming in shaking, holding their ticket, thinking their life's about to change when they hand it to you?
Yeah, well, it's been on Facebook and the whole lot, so we know that there's someone in the Macedon Rangers Shire got a massive amount of money that they're sitting on.
What's the biggest ticket you've ever sold, mate?
Well, we sold one 6 weeks ago for $1.292
million.
You're kidding! Wow. Yeah. And it went to a local too. So
oh, my
awesome.
God. Wow.
A few drinks were shouted in the Woodend area that night?
We did get a slab or two.
Good on you.
Wow. Yeah, well, that was good.
We'll cross our fingers for everybody. That's going to be a very big moment when that person
good luck, Darren.
Rocks
I hope
up.
It's your news agency. And, everyone.
Okay. Thanks.
It should be good.
I'm going off to book my nail appointment for tomorrow morning. Ah, that'll be lovely.
This has happened three
Mind
times.
Mind you, this is the
row,
family man. Ticket too, don't tell anyone else at home.
Oh, you should spend it for all the kids.
Oh, what a big block of Cadbury Dairy Milk. Wow, that'll last about 1 second in my house.
Jeez. Old Grinch over there.
A sore winner.
Wow.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
There are many contenders.
Hey, I'm the leader, bro.
Please explain.
I'll let you finish.
Oh, good for you.
But it can't always be this guy.
You are fake news.
Who will be...
He was a famous clown.
Clown of the week.
It is chock-a-block. We've had so many people have disgraced themselves this week in many forms. But let's start at the top. We've got a call straight off the top. Vince. Vince, who would you like to clown?
Hi, Mick. I enjoy listening to your show. I'd like to clown MasterChef George Columbus.
Oh, all right.
MasterChef Judge.
We'll get this out of the way. I think that's fair enough. A big story.
That is a huge story, actually.
$8 million in underpaid staff is not a good look for anyone. But George has made an impassioned plea for understanding. We'll go ahead. Do you know what I blame?
Who do you blame?
Hi, blokes, because he's on MasterChef all the time. He's used to people cooking for him for nothing.
Oh, right.
He's thought, this is great.
That works.
So he goes to MasterChef and he goes, I really like this and costs are low.
Yeah.
And they come and they bring me food and I don't pay them for making it. I know what I'll do. I'll parlay that into my...
I'm trying to get my head around how this all occurred. I'm trying to get my head around, this is years ago that it was first, you know, was going on. Does that mean he had sort of like a Dennis DeNuto from the Castle-esque accountant fiddling around trying to work out, oh, my God, and as George is getting bigger and more restaurants and he's got a paper trail.
Overwhelmed.
And what's happening?
We don't have time
don't
to
understand.
Cook the books now, so here's a book we cooked earlier.
That's right.
Oh, George. No, anyway, there's George, a bit of a backlash, isn't there?
Good. And, George, I know you'll be upset. Don't get punchy. Right, just keep
it.
Just
contrite.
Keep it. Hey, could I... I'd like to clown you, Jane Kennedy.
Oh, Jane.
For not letting me old app you.
Oh, this is just, you've just, the last 30 seconds this is coming.
This is.
You are not old apping
me. So there's an app that comes
out. FaceApp, it's called.
It's called FaceApp.
Yeah.
And it makes you, and it's like a fascinating glimpse into the future.
It's not fascinating.
Where you look at someone, and I've asked Jane and she won't let me do it.
No way.
I'm going to do it.
You are not.
And we're going to post it on Instagram.
I'll sue you. You think George Columbaris is in trouble? You just stick around. If you dare. Don't.
James, old app James.
Do me young.
No,
they always, they're scared of you because you have tendencies to bully people in the workplace. So they're all scared of you.
Look at her.
Don't, James, don't you do it.
All he has to do is push that button.
No.
He pushes that button.
You are not too.
Push that button and 80-year-old Jane is alive on the airwaves.
Do not do it. I swear to God, I'm being adamant about this. Why would any woman? Girls don't like it.
Have you done it? Don't do it.
Don't you post it.
James, you're very brave.
Thank you, James.
James is too smart for that. And by the way, guys, if you're sending a dick pic, don't do it. Don't old.
It's not a good result.
Old saggy.
I don't know what the.
You ever see those old man balls?
Oh, yeah. No. A bit pruny is what I would imagine. Okay, let's continue on.
Can we discuss it and put it up?
No, stop it. Move off. Everyone's bored now.
It's a young one, though, because you can go young as well.
Hey, I don't even want that. Why do I want to look what I used to look like?
Can other people do it at home?
No.
Can they?
Don't you dare.
So,
stop
other
it.
Other people will get a picture of you.
I'm very disappointed in you. I'm very.
And it wouldn't be coming from this office. But if you wanted to send it to us on Instagram.
Dave, thanks for all your stupid support.
It's funny. It's funny.
Oh, funny, is it?
That's the problem. You look old.
Yeah, I imagine you would look beautiful as an old lady.
Don't you look at me.
Stunning old woman.
Sophisticated, civilised, urbane.
Oh, for God's sake.
Jowly.
I beg your pardon.
When you get the old thing. I've done it. I've got the jowls.
I do not want to hear the word jowl associated with me or wrinkle. Thank you. Let's move on.
Send them through if you've got them.
You are a terrible man.
Is there anything else you would like
to... Yes, I want to clown the kids who stole their parents' car. I don't really want to clown
kind of
them.
Their
I'm a bit on their sound. You know what? I'll clown the guy that dobbed them in.
There you go.
That's better. Have we got a bit of audio?
Sure. Isn't his report?
Police intercepted a stolen vehicle from Queensland on the Gwydir Highway out at Jack Adrian. That vehicle contained four juveniles, one 12-year-old, two 13-year-olds and a 14-year-old male. They assisted police with their inquiries in relation to the theft of that vehicle from Rockhampton all the way down to Grafton. So at this stage, further inquiries are being made.
So the kids have basically hot-wired a car, taken it interstate, but left a note for their parents saying, gone fishing.
And they did take fishing rods with them, so it was not
and
so
how did they get caught? Because they thought it was a really small adult.
Yeah, the guy at the servo.
Yeah, that's right.
Guys, God, that's a small person driving.
filling up the car.
I love a road trip involving a 14-year-old.
If you can't have an adventure in your parents' car when you're 14,
that's right.
We don't want nanny state.
As I said last week, I taught my boys how to start and ride a golf cart and light a fire.
Nothing could go wrong.
Good parenting. All right, we're going to give us a call. 1-3-3-5-3. Let us know who you think we should clown.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
And Clown of the Week. You can get involved. Give us a ring, 1-3-3-5-3, or you can tweet, you can Instagram, Facebook as well, Kennedy Malloy.
Get that look out of your eye. I've seen old Jane.
Oh, well, okay. I've got a picture.
I can't stand it when you're in these movies.
Describe what you see.
It's
what
so annoying.
It's closest I can describe it to is just like Miranda Devine's grumpy mum.
How... That is the worst thing you've ever said to me. You take that back.
That's what came to mind.
No. Just because I've got brunette hair like Miranda.
I'm just saying, it's just got a bit.
No, that's it. Stop.
Are we posting that on Kennedy Malloy?
No, we're not.
We're not, okay.
No, but if you're creative,
Dave, you're so brave, aren't you? You wait till you really see my dark side.
Oh,
you want to see Cranky Jane?
Really?
I think we've seen 11. We've seen it cranked up to 11. Surely you can't go any higher.
It can.
Cranky Jane, is that like Dentist Jane? Was Cranky Jane in a Wiggles film?
Yeah, wouldn't have thought. No.
Hey, we've got a few we want to get through.
Mm. Yeah,
what about our own Triple M's own sales director who streaked?
Oh, we salute you.
At the NRL. They're doing it for all of us. I mean, that's...
Mm.
Is that your phone?
Oh. No, it's my mum's phone. It's my mum's mobile.
We're doing a national radio show, mate.
There's no mute button because it's from 1995.
Do you actually, does it work? Because I've sent about 15 million messages and tried to call you and nothing happens.
No, I don't get any messages.
Well, why is it sitting there? And where's your new phone, by the way? Sorry, can we clown Mick for having his phone stolen while he's standing on a street? Somehow someone's patted him down when he's standing.
Trying to get your husband out of a fight.
Well.
He got drunk and attacked a couple of Asian types. I had to pull him off them.
He threw
a coward's punch. It was a coward's punch.
That is slanderous. Stop it.
I had my hands full. We'd had a couple over dinner.
Mick.
Rob gets a bit punchy.
I'm trying to bundle him
into a cab.
No.
And next thing you know, I've been rifled.
Can you please first put your phone on mute, if you don't mind? No. Or you don't know how to do it.
Basically, two buttons on this phone.
That's right.
All right. Let's get back to what we were talking about.
What was that? Oh, yeah, the Triple M sales, head of sales, who was a guest of the NRL, went to the rugby league and thought, I'll go down, I'll hide behind a Channel 9 camera, take my duds off and run out onto the ground.
How many beers does that take?
That's a lot.
Is it the same amount you had at the Logies? Which is a 16.
16.
16?
Yeah.
Could be 18.
Drink responsibly.
Squared. Hey, have we got the audio?
Yeah, this is what I went down.
Boots come back. Now
there's something else going on.
Streaker on Benji's big day. He's got the entire kit off, and the security guards have him. They've won the ruck there, haven't they?
Well done, Triple M.
I'm so proud.
I just think as a sales director, he should have had Kennedy on one butt cheek and Malloy on the other butt cheek.
You're right. You've let us down.
It would have been a great integration.
Of course.
For about 8 seconds.
What about the Florida City Hall attempting to deter the homeless people?
By playing
Baby Shark.
You got it there, don't you? non-stop around the clock, driving away the vagrants who are trying to sleep.
It's enough to get people to go to move, because brides were coming out of the reception centre at midnight having to step on homeless people.
That's
how
right.
distressing for the brides.
Mm. That's right. It's their big day.
Yeah, it's a big day.
So we asked our audiences what would drive a vagrant away, and we came up with some other ones. It's raining
tacos. Well, this was another one they were playing.
Which is particularly cruel, because they're homeless, they're probably hungry, and you're talking a song that's raining tacos.
This was another suggestion. What does the fuck say?
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, that would have at least made me stand up.
Then there was Pen Pineapple Apple Pen.
I have a pen. I have an apple. This is my karaoke song.
Apple pen. I can see you doing it. I
have pineapple. Any others? Was there one other? Is there
the other one we had was one of Jane's favourites, I believe.
This was the white English people on the Costa down in Spain.
All right, I like it. Well done, all. Time for a couple of other quick ones. What about the guy who, the drunk bloke in England, who got into a random car mistaking it for an Uber? We've got some audio there.
Yeah, take a listen.
Who are you trying to get to, mate?
We'll go to, mate. Let's go to Redden.
Redden. I'm not Uber.
You're not.
What? No, I'm not an Uber, bruv.
What? How much is it to go to the Crown Plaza?
How much are you trying to pay?
Listen,
you on it. Made of forest. 10 out of 10?
Driving 10 out of 10.
Driving 10 out of 10. Music?
20 out of
20. 20 out of 20. Thank you, mate. You too, pal. Have a good evening.
So he's jumped into a random car, sat in the back. He's gone, mate, I'm not an Uber driver. He goes, okay, well, how much? The guy's driven him there.
Who would do that?
Have you done that? You have. What did you do?
Okay. Recently, I called an Uber to my house and I knew it was a woman driver.
Yeah.
And I saw what the type of car was, like a Toyota RAV or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was standing there and a car pulls up and I opened the back door and I sat down and she went, what are you doing?
Oh, my.
And I said, oh, it's Jane. I called the Uber. She goes, I'm not an Uber driver. I'm here. I'm parking my car to see my mother.
Did you at least get a mint and a bottle of water before you got out?
She was very upset. Yeah. She was very
scared.
Well,
you would be if a mad lady jumped into the back of your car.
I'm a nice looking girl.
Be careful, because there's been a couple of dangerous mishaps where people have got into the... Not me.
Doesn't sound so good.
Oh, personally.
All right.
And there was one more. What about the guy who they turned off the life support system of the wrong guy? This is my favourite story of the week.
A little awkward.
Mm. So guy's been, family said, let's stop the machine.
Yeah.
And
it's very
so
sad.
They pulled the plug, but wasn't the guy.
Let's have a listen to the guy whose plug they didn't pull.
They didn't pull. Who's
alive.
They're looking at me like I was a ghost or something. And I'm like, what? And then he's like, okay. We got calls and we preparing to bury you, like, in a couple of days. Why would you want to bury me in a couple of days?
Wow.
That's a crazy
thing.
Dodge the ball
there,
isn't it?
Dude. Hey, we could go on, but we won't, because coming up next, he's on a national tour. He's a funny bugger. It's Titus O'Reilly.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Titus O'Reilly. This sports tragic has released two best-selling books, with another one on the way later this year. He's taking his hit show, Better Living Through Sport, on the road nationally in August and October. Please welcome to the show sports writer, broadcaster and prolific tweeter, Titus O'Reilly.
Hello, Titus.
Thank you.
Yes, you're a prolific tweeter.
And you're very good at it.
You
very,
are.
Very funny.
And you don't mind saying exactly what you damn well think.
Well, that's how
it's
I started.
My reading.
Because I was a nobody, and some people would say I still am, but I just was a fan tweeting.
How many followers do you have?
On Twitter, it's about a bit over a quarter of a million
so
now.
You are so
you
competitive.
You and me are like, we're influencers.
would you say
that?
I heard them play the promo before this came on where you talked about the rosé promoter. I thought there's nothing more Triple M than a rosé promoter.
Thank you so much.
I like your style. You're a man of style too, and I like a man who wears a hat. Because there was a time in this country where all men wore hats, wasn't it?
There was. It's one of the great things that, like, I love wearing a hat. It's one, covers up the balding,
right?
And two, like, in winter, it's warm, you know. And then when I'm at the footy, I can actually see.
Well, do you know why? I know why men stopped wearing hats. Uh-huh. Because I interviewed the Queen's milliner,
And as you do.
He's actually serious.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
And he said it was Prince Philip. He said in the 50s, everyone was getting around wearing hats, and Prince Philip left Buckingham Palace one day without a hat. And he said virtually overnight,
hat sales.
Everyone really? Just went,
isn't that
sad? Leave the hat at home.
See, I went out wearing a hat. No one followed.
Titus, sport you love watching it. Did you play sport when you're a lad?
I did. I was terrible at it. Mm. I mean, this is the thing I love about, you know, the NRL and the AFL starting women's comps.
Yep.
And people are saying, isn't this fantastic? Young girls out there can grow up to one day play for their club. Mm. But, you know, they can realise their dream. But they don't mention what the majority of blokes live with, which is they have the opportunity to grow up to realise they're not good enough to play for their club.
That's right.
Which is the majority, you know, and you then do what we do, which is talk about sport because that's all you've got.
Well, it's never been better for people to sit on their lounges and watch sport because the access is incredible thanks to Foxtel and...
You can watch 24-hour sport now around the world.
That's right.
From my natural habitat, the couch in front of the TV.
And your bed, actually.
We're a great marginalised group, though. You know, it's great. You saw the Adam Goods doco. We're fighting racism and homophobia and all these things. But the greatest marginalised group in Australia is people just want to sit on the couch and watch sport all day.
You're right.
Because we're persecuted in our own homes.
Now,
you know, if I'm sitting there on the couch...
Yes.
You know, I'm not just left to my own devices. I had my brother come in the other day. He said, are you going to be watching cricket all day? And I said, no, for 5 days. It's a test.
Can I tell you this? This is something I seriously, one day in a bowl experiment, I would like to get home detention.
Yeah.
I'd like to get an ankle brake that goes off when I leave the house.
You've got Uber Eats, you've got everything.
So Uber Eats, I'm on the couch.
So you're forced and you don't feel good. So do you feel guilty about it? Let me get it straight.
I just have to lie here all day on the couch in my underpants watching sport.
Yeah, that's right.
What's that, honey? Pick the kids up from school? I can't.
But the mistake...
I can't even put the bits out.
The mistake we make, us that, you know, love watching sport all day, is we make it look too easy.
You know, and it's much more difficult if you share a house with someone. Like, for example, when I've come home from a hard day's work and I'm preparing dinner, do I want to watch the golf
until 11 p.m.?
No.
No?
That has been recorded because someone missed it during the day.
You're being difficult.
And it's not even live. I'm going, holy hell.
But you wouldn't go up to some, like, when you're watching sport, you're operating mentally at a higher plane. And you wouldn't go up to someone meditating and go, is this all you're going to do today? Would you?
That's true.
You know, and I've had this happen when I'm sitting there and someone says, you know, surely, you're going to watch this all day, are you? And I've been like, well, if you think there's something more important than watching Sri Lanka play New Zealand in a dead rubber test? Because I'm all ears. Yeah.
I want to hear what it is. They judge us, don't they?
They do, but it's an important thing to do. I've had it, like, you know, I've learned all my great lessons of life.
On a couch?
Well, from sitting there doing nothing.
Sure.
It's the most important piece of furniture in my house. Tell us about your tour, mate. This will be great. If you get the chance, we've had you on our show, The Front Bar. It's very funny. I've seen you talking before games of sport with all the dignitaries. How do you go with the dignitaries? Do you change the act?
Not really. I had an event recently where I had it was Bill Shorten, Scott Morrison, all those guys in front of me.
Right.
And I was talking about how bad the Good Friday game was in the AFL last year, and I started telling the joke about how this game was so hard to watch. I understood how Jesus felt on Good Friday. And that I just
how did
wish
that
I'd
go
been
down, Titus?
I thought I wish I'd been pushed into a cave and someone had rolled a rock in front of me. And then I look down, and there's Scott Morrison.
Oh!
And I suddenly, I'm in front of 2,000 people at the AFL Grand Final, you know, all the dignitaries in the world, and I suddenly realise, I wonder how that's gone down. But anyway, he was laughing.
They would have hated to have been photographed.
I know a stand-up comic who was asked to do a gig for Bill Shorten at a Labor conference, and they did a background check, and at the last they said, we can't have you because... If on the off chance someone caught a glimpse of him laughing at certain aspects of your material, we're cooked.
Yeah.
You would have done it where they give you the little thing of what not to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And I did a charity for breast.
Mick rolls those up and puts them in there.
Yeah, that's the one. You read them out from on stage?
Yeah, well, I had one where I did the Breast Cancer Network charity, and I did it for free for them at the Hawthorn Melbourne game down here, and they put on this little descriptor on the bottom, please no breast cancer jokes. And I was like, well, there's half my material out the window. I said, can I do other forms of cancer? Like, what's the...
And they were,
they actually laughed. They were all right. But it was funny that... And I said, I want to know why you had to write that. Because that's the real thing.
Who stuffed it up for all of us?
What incident was involved? Where are we going with this show?
Well, it looks like you're going right around the
going everywhere. I did the comedy festival in Melbourne, and so this is me
very well
sort of taking
the street theatre in Canberra, the Arkaba Hotel,
Arkaba.
That's me not.
That was Cold Chisel's old haunt when they started. Yeah,
Sydney Comedy Store in Sydney, the Octagon Theatre.
The Octagon. Have you been to the Octagon?
I have. You've done it a couple of times. Yeah, so it's a great theatre.
Joker's Comedy Club in Hobart, and don't worry, Brisbane, you're there at the Sit Down Comedy Club on the 9th of October. This is August to October.
You will come back and join us again sometime.
I'd love to.
Delightful.
Good luck. Don't forget your hat.
FrontierTouring.com for those tickets. The better living through sport. Titus O'Reilly.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
The great Andy Thomas, Australian all-round hero, astronaut, will be joining us in the next hour on anniversary of the 50 years of the moon landing.
So much to look forward to. We'll have our week in review, which will be our new producer, Maddie's first go.
Oh, Maddie, down on the pots and pans.
I hope he knows the rules.
First week's down.
Which is to a lot of me in the review.
Well,
of the
I'm just happy he's still here and that he hasn't run away after, you know, it's hard working with
him. He's doing a good job. All that in the second hour. Hey, Jane, let's shout out here, please. Yeah. Praise for Belinda Sharp.
This is great.
The NRL's first female referee. This was an historic occasion when she refereed a match with Broncos and Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs up there at Suncorp. The feedback has been incredible, and I was blown away by the amount of support on social. There's been
That's great. That is really good.
And a word is she did a great job, and the commentary team at the time on Nine were quick to praise. Okay. This is JT and Joey.
I mean, listening to the referee, Belinda Sharp, the way she's communicating to the players. JT, you've been impressed?
Yeah, extremely. It's groundbreaking for the NRL and for sport in general, having a female referee to referee the game, and her communication's been great on the field, what she's done, and it's very inspirational, especially having four daughters of my own, someone that no doubt they'll be looking up to.
There you go.
Well done,
NRL, which kind of gets beaten up a fair bit sometimes for the behaviour of certain players and whatever, but that is a fantastic
move. And 100%
move.
On merit, and it's a great move, and hopefully there'll be more female referees soon to come.
Well, she's the first one through the wall. Good on you. You're a pioneer.
All right.
Good stuff.
Now, speaking of people pioneering.
What have you got now?
There's only one more week to vote for Mick Molloy to be Australia's hottest radio hunk.
We talked
about this a while ago.
I don't need people to vote. It's apparent.
You've actually been very sensitive
about
this.
Hottie.
You said, I don't want you, Jane, to have to push and
please.
You know, it's a bit below me to do that because plenty of other radio stars have, by the way.
Are they all bartering?
They've
for
all
their
had
gear.
Their mates saying, oh, vote for this because the final 25 are locked in.
Oh.
But I see a few threats.
Oh, who?
Well, your main threat.
Who?
Ben Fordham.
Does he do it for you?
I love Ben.
In what way?
I just really like him.
He's a great broadcaster.
He's a great broadcaster. Mm. Don't tune into him now, by the way, because he's up against
Is he on now?
Yeah, he's on now. Brendan Jones.
Why don't you do Kennedy Fordham then?
Why don't you go and be
a little lover boy?
He'd like that. Brendan Jones, that's another.
Jonesy is
big.
He's a nice fella, but he is as ugly a man as I have ever seen.
That's ridiculous.
The guy's grotesque.
He's not.
He is.
You are.
Seriously. Do you know what? Doesn't look quite right to me. He knows it.
That's so funny.
He's got a special subcategory for
Ed Cavalier.
Let's see him with his shirt off once. Just once. What's he covering
he
up?
He is. I've seen him with
What's
his shirt off
got?
In a pool in Bali. Mate, he is cut.
What?
Don't you
There's
even.
Only a couple of us who are.
Well, he's married to a trainer, so he
he's
you know,
you know what?
Good.
I don't see him down the gym.
Well, he goes to the... You don't go to the gym.
That's right. That's why I don't see him down the gym.
Ridiculous.
Do you know what I've got going for me?
Mm.
Oh, this will be good.
I'm a little hottie who goes off like a firecracker in a sack. And that, at the end of the day, is what
you
women
see, that's slightly
will.
Harassing, and I think you have to be very careful. You can't say
shut
that.
Up, Dave.
It has to be consensual. And Luke Darcy is the other one.
Oh, Luke Darcy.
Luke Darcy. Yeah, he was smacked on the face with the ugly stick.
I take it back. I was very cruel to Darcy originally, and I said some terrible things about him, but I think, you know, really he deserves to.
There's a big campaign with that breakfast show to get him to number one.
Well, he needs a campaign behind him.
He looks like King Joffrey. He looks like Joffrey. Reminds me of Joffrey. If Joffrey had grown up.
From Game of Thrones.
From Game of Thrones. That's how he would have been. Like a.
Anyway, everybody, you can, and I will just give it one
but
more.
But what am I seriously? I mean,
you get to take your clothes off, which you're happy to do.
I'll do it now.
Being your derps.
No, you won't.
And you win a trophy. The winner's announced in August. Go on Facebook.com/Take5Magazine for instructions.
All right.
Oh, guess what the amazing prize is for a lucky voter?
Look out.
$100
Well, ladies, someone can stuff that down my underpants.
Guys,
get voting Australia.
That's the kind of prestigious magazine you're dealing with.
Well, all right, there we go. Get involved. When we come back, Australian astronaut Andy Thomas.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Here we go. 1 hour till knockoff time, people, and then it's free drinks for everybody. Let's go.
Hey,
Before we get there, we can review, Jane.
We can review, which is great. I've got a chick flick alert of the highest
it's a big one.
Order possible.
It's a category five.
Oh, you're going to, mate, I don't even know what to say.
I
mightn't
leave the house
out
for a while.
No, I think that's a good idea. We've got to go around the grounds around Australia because we've got some really good events that we want to tell you about.
We want to tip you into wherever in the big brown land you may be.
Have you been watching Game of Thrones?
I'm not sure I can talk about it.
I think I know.
There was an episode last night.
I think I know what you might be up to.
You've been rocked.
I'm a bit.
Dave, you want to know what he's talking about?
Well,
I think episode nine
of season 10.
Might involve the colour red.
Oh, jeez. Don't take me back there.
Okay.
Whoa. Hey, but before we get there, let's go to a homegrown legend.
Andy Thomas. He's a guy from Adelaide who had a dream to become an astronaut and achieved that mind-blowing career path.
Liftoff of the Space Shuttle Endeavour.
With four trips into space on NASA's now-retired Space Shuttle fleet.
It's an impressive sight.
Including a stint on the Russian spacecraft Mir.
Andy Thomas, we're happy to welcome you aboard.
He spent an out-of-this-world total of 177 days, 9 hours and 15 minutes in space.
It's just amazing. Incredible space.
And this Sunday marks 50 years since man first set foot on the moon. Here to talk about that and National Science Week, August 10 to 18, please welcome to the show, Andy Thomas.
Can you hear me? Do you read me, Major Tom?
Come in.
Got you loud and clear.
We feel like we're in mission control here at the moment.
If only, Andy.
Thank you for that nice introduction.
You're most welcome.
Thank you. On behalf of all Australians, I can't begin to tell you how proud I felt. You went up for the first time representing Australia. Were you listening to Triple M on the radio, I hope?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Andy, I always love asking people who are, I'm very young. I was only just around when man walked on the moon, when, of course, those famous steps were taken. Where were you when it all happened?
I was at home. I was in my first year as a student. I was 18 years old, and I remember it very clearly. We watched those grainy black and white images on TV, and I remember, like everyone else, I was just enthralled and captivated by it. I thought, what an amazing adventure. What an extraordinary accomplishment.
When I still think about the greatness of America, I always go to their space program, to their shuttle program, to their all the efforts they've made on behalf of the rest of the world to advance civilization and just to be part of that. How did they come to select you? What was the process you go through to put your hand up and become an astronaut?
Well, I didn't consider it a very realistic prospect as a kid growing up.
A kid growing up in Adelaide, sure.
Yeah, exactly. But it was later in life, after I'd worked in the US in the aerospace industry for a number of years, that I realized I could actually direct my career towards putting together a competitive application. So I set about looking at what was needed, and I made some career choices and changed professions, sort of, and got some experience that I thought would make my application stand out, and it worked.
I wouldn't pass a back background check to get a job at Subways. I can't imagine the kind of back study they did on you. Were you interviewed by the FBI?
Yes, actually, I remember coming home one day before I got selected, and my neighbours across the street came out to me and said, "Is there something you're not telling us?" And I said, "Why?" And they said, "Well, the FBI's been here asking questions about you." I think they thought I was an Australian drug lord.
Oh, good Lord. Andy, there's only a few professions, I think, in the world where you've got to be a super nice guy or girl. The paediatricians are generally, as a rule, pretty great people. Astronauts seem to me to be pretty decent, good people. Is that true?
Well, there's a cross-section of field, cross-section of personality, shall we say, diplomatically like that.
Well, I'm up for hearing that, Andy.
I tell you what, you wouldn't be stuck on that space station with a bit of an arsehole. That would go on for some time.
Well, space flight's not for everyone. I mean, doing a space station flight is demanding intellectually as well as psychologically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not for everybody. There's certainly some people that wouldn't be right for it.
And 177 days you spent in space, was there a time which you went said, "I might have pulled the wrong rein here"? What am I doing here? I want to go home now.
No, you know, when I flew on the Mir space station, which was my longest flight, it was 20 weeks, I thought I'd have just that reaction. I thought I'd be feeling like, oh, let's get this over and done with. I want to go home. But time just sort of flowed effortlessly. And I remember one day my flight controller in Russia called me up and said, "Guess what day it is?" I said, "I don't know what day it is." He said, "It's your 100th day in space." And I was absolutely stunned. Well, I had no idea I'd been up there that long.
That's interesting to me, Andy, that there's something I gather that as pilots as well. You're very meticulous people. I would imagine that you would have been keeping tabs on that.
No, once you figure out how to live on a space station, how to get your personal needs met, time just flows fluidly, and it really becomes a very serene experience and very peaceful. You put away all the day-to-day tribulations that you have here on Earth and just enjoy the environment that you're in, and it really is a serene environment to be in.
It's kind of like backpacking, it sounds like. Hey, Andy, tell us about your first walk in space, the emotion, and tell us about the moment when you make that giant
and
leap.
And was there fear?
You know, I remember when I opened the hatch and went outside for that first time, I think my heart rate did get elevated a bit because I thought, oh, gosh, this is really serious. There's not much between me and infinity.
Yes.
But then I got into the work mode, and we'd trained in simulators for so long that everything had an air of familiarity to it, so that I actually started to feel very natural and very comfortable with what was happening, and I enjoyed the experience.
Well, that's wonderful. Look, Andy, we would like to, if we may, ask for you to stay with us. We're going to go to a track that's pretty special, Space Oddity, a bit of David Bowie. Are you up for that?
I'm up for that. Yes.
And when we come back, I'd like to talk about the current state of space programs
and Science Week
which you're giving a good plug to.
Okay, let's do that.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
We are joined by an absolute Aussie hero, Dr. Andy Thomas, a man who spent some time in space ahead of the 50th anniversary of man landing on the moon this weekend. Jane and Mick.
Andy, how far have we come in the 50 years? I think when we landed on the moon, we all thought, well, we'll be on Mars by the 70s. We'll do all this. Are we still putting enough time and effort and resources into space travel, or have we dropped off the pace a bit?
Oh, the pace certainly slowed down, but I think the expectations after the Apollo about being on Mars in the 80s and so on were totally unrealistic. I don't think they were very sound at all. Space flight is difficult. There's no doubt it's a big challenge. The biggest impediment to modern space flight is having the national and political will to see it through.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing now that there's a groundswell of growing interest in space. You only have to look at the enthusiasm of the Apollo anniversary celebrations to see that.
And have you been impressed by how great that has been?
Yes, I have, because there's so many people around today who were not around during Apollo, and they're just as excited by it as those of us who remember it were. It was an incredible event for all humanity, for everyone on the planet, and people are reliving that excitement, and people just think it's a wonderful expression of what human ingenuity and human resourcefulness can do, particularly when you work together.
Agreed, and it's going to come in handy one day when we've buggered this planet, that's for sure. Now, Andy, for anyone who is interested and wants to get excited about space travel, I went to the Smithsonian recently in Washington, and I can't wait till my boys, who are 7, are old enough so I can take them over there to the space exhibition at the Smithsonian. I was just shocked at some of the stuff I saw. This was really, I don't want to say cowboy because it sounds cavalier, But the early days of this stuff was real pioneering. You know, there was about 6 inches of metal between, between an astronaut's bottom and a red-hot re-entry. I mean, you get the sense that these guys, apart from all the training and all the intellect that's required, as you pointed out, it does require a certain special character.
Well, I think when you look back at it, you have to be really impressed by what was achieved in the 60s with the programs Mercury first, then Gemini, and then Apollo, not just for the moon landing, but for the whole accomplishment of launching people into space. When Apollo was committed by President Kennedy in 1961, the country had 15 minutes of space flight under its belt. That was all. Everything was new. Everything had to be relearned from scratch.
Yeah.
And it was incredible that just 8 years later, they landed on the moon successfully. What an incredible accomplishment.
The competitiveness of nations and countries also spurred things on.
Oh, Apollo was born out of a spirit of competition. There's no doubt about that. It was a Cold War instrument of showing Western superiority.
Of course.
But out of that has been forged collaboration now with the Russians, and we're working together on the International Space Station, which I think is one of the healthiest developments that we could have had.
Agreed. You should feel very proud of yourself and your contribution to space travel in the last 50 years. We can't thank you enough for your support. Tell us a bit about Science Week now. So science can't be that important, is it, to learn or for the kids? I mean, does it come in handy?
Science is very important, yes. Science Week is from the 10th to the 18th of August, and it's a national event. Yep. There's events all around the country. If you Google Science Week, you can find out an event near you. And the great thing about it is it inspires young people to think out of the box and to think differently and to take on new challenges. And I think it's a wonderful expression and a series of events that will be really inspirational to young people.
When did you fall in love with science yourself, Andy?
I think when I was in secondary school, in high school, I enjoyed science. I enjoyed the discipline of it, but I enjoyed the creativity of it.
Yep.
It's one of the things that Science Week will show is just how creative science can actually be and how interesting and exciting it could be for young people.
And how to have fun with a Bunsen burner
That's right.
A few bad chemicals and who knows what can happen.
Yeah, exactly. My parents had nightmares.
Oh, really? We're really thrilled to, as I said, to speak with you. Thank you for your time, and we'll be reflecting as well, of course, on Sunday, Australia time, when it is the marking of Neil Armstrong, those steps on the moon.
Thank you, Andy.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Scienceweek.net.au for all the information on Science Week. Dr. Andy Thomas.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mayday, mayday. This is not a drill. Calling all men. This is a Category 5 chick flick alert. Abort cinema. Abort cinema. Repeat, this is not a drill. Warning, warning. This is a fully blown chick flick alert.
Oof.
I've got chills.
I don't think I've found a bigger one than this one.
Oh, dear.
All over the internet today. I saw it at about 6 o'clock this morning.
Right.
Much to my delight and joy. I don't think it's going to be the same delight and joy for you.
It's a chick flick alert.
It's a live action Cats movie.
Warning, warning. Okay. Chick flick alert.
Yes.
Band down the hatches, boys. Don't go near a cinema. Don't fall for it. No, before you leave the house, exactly where you're going and what you're doing. You will be tricked.
The trailer dropped today.
You will be tricked.
For what is one of the most extraordinary pieces of live action animation, chick flickery, dastardly wizardry that I've ever seen. For a start, would you like to know? Basically, you know the musical Cats, which you would have seen.
Oh my God. I have not wandered
anywhere near Mr. Feliz.
Anything playing Andrew Lloyd Webber. Do you know Jonathan Ross once said, if you want to know what Andrew Lloyd Webber looks like, look at your own reflection in the back of a spoon.
That's brilliant.
That's all you need to know about Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Cats, of course, we know is incredibly famous. God. It's the story of a tribe of cats called the Jellicles.
Is Mr. Mistopheles?
Yes, there's Mr. Mistopheles. Right. They face a series of difficult life-altering decisions on one fateful night. Yeah. So who are the cast that they've got together?
Oh, good Lord. What is what?
Jennifer Hudson plays the... Well, do you know what? Well, I'll tell you the cast, and then I'm going to play you the trailer.
Just get it over and done with.
Jennifer Hudson.
Quickly.
Idris Elba.
Oh, wow.
God, they forked out the dough for this one. Jason Derulo, Taylor Swift, Sir Ian McKellen, Dame Judi Dench, and our own Rebel Wilson.
It's going to be hard for him to be a cat. He's hung like a donkey, Sir Ian McKellen. I saw it in a Shakespearean production with the togs off. Wow, hey.
Really?
Gandalf's hung like a horse.
Yikes. Okay. This is what everybody's freaking out about. They have got everybody, the real, you know, to do all the live action. Mm. Then they've been CGI'd, covered in fur. Oh. If you get a chance, have a look. But in the meantime, please, may I give you, for a full chick alert, the trailer for Cats the Movie.
Before, have I?
Open up and tell me.
Good Lord.
And I'm out.
Wait for the big build up.
Look for the nearest exit.
No, she's getting to a big build up. Stand by.
Just want to go now.
Here she comes.
That'll do. Enough! Dave!
I can't take it one more.
Dave, take it off.
It's glued
on. Dave.
Jane's got the control.
Mayday, mayday. Get it off.
Jane's got the control.
All right, please. You can turn it off.
Mate.
Turn it off.
Can you dump it? Can I just say something? I don't mean this.
I got goosebumps.
I would mean this.
What?
I would rather a good hard kick in the pills than going to see Cats.
No, okay, you would love it. It's really beautiful, sensitive.
Form an orderly queue, everybody, and kick me in the pills.
The songs are great.
Nah, I'm out.
Rum Tum Tugger. What about a bit of Rum Tum Tugger?
I'll tell you who's been tugging. It's Andy Lloyd Webber. Rum Tum's not the only one having a fair crack at it.
No, I can't wait to see it.
Jane Kennedy, that is an absolute disgrace.
You know what we should have, because it's so into Triple M's wheelhouse, film. But I reckon we have a movie night. A Triple M screening of Cats.
You are an evil man.
For women. And here's the deal.
What?
Here's the deal. It's for women, and they only get in if they bring their husband or their partner.
That is torture.
A male has to come
That's
in.
Not
so girls win the tickets.
Girls win the tickets.
Only if they
either gender partner can be a chick or a bloke, but preferably a bloke because I know how to do their heads in.
And
that's a good
they
idea.
They can get out of it if you kick them in the
pills. No, there's no kicking in any balls. Don't be silly. Come on.
Who am I date? Guys, that's a warning. Yeah. You've been told. When's this in cinemas?
Well, that's a good question. They're teasing. Oh, I know. It's around Christmas.
Do not wander within 500 yards of a multiplex.
Yeah.
That is my advice.
You've been warned.
Might be one of our special ones at the end of the year.
You've been warned.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We can review not too far away. You are listening to Kennedy Malloy.
Just quickly, thank you everyone for sending me face apps of Jane.
Oh, yes, if you're coming in,
these
isn't
are
it?
Coming in. Are you getting a few, too?
I am, too. The billboards and things.
Do you want to have a look?
I don't want to have a look.
You look
I've
really
told
hot
you
as an oldie.
For God's sake.
Elderly women could still be vaguely attractive.
I have said, first of all, everybody's stupid for downloading it because the Russians will have all your information, so ha-ha.
Hey, I'm a bit...
You've been a bit out of sorts.
You look a bit like a white walker.
Well, that's a terrible thing to say.
Oh, by the way.
Take that back.
By the way.
Take it back.
I was, jeez. Hey, thanks for the heads up about last night's episode.
What?
So last night I watched episode 9 of season 3. So let me just walk you through what went down last night.
What happened last night?
Well, a Bran's eyes were rolled in the back of his head and his superpowers knocked out Hodor. He's a dick.
Oh, Hodor's not a dick. Hodor is Hodor.
Thanks for the uncanny person.
Wow.
It is uncanny to me.
Now, then Bram, he goes on some kind of psychedelic trip into the mind of his wolfie.
The dire wolf of Jon Snow.
Oh, and then, let me think. There's a little something called The Red Wedding.
Oh, my God.
What?
Thanks for the heads up.
The Red Wedding episode.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm going, this is nice. Oh, look, the Lannisters are behaving. What the? Oh. It is a bloodbath.
It is a bloodbath.
It is off the charts.
Oh, my God.
What?
I'm sorry.
Thanks for the heads up.
I should have given you a heads up for that one because that was a real shock to everybody when it happened about 17 years ago.
Bang out of order. Oh, I have been to worse weddings.
No one's been to a worse wedding than what happened at the Red Wedding.
Now, what's wrong with
Run through.
Thrones?
Who's dead? Oh, sorry, spoiler alert.
Well, Robb Stark.
Dead.
Talisa.
He was like
And a baby.
A baby.
Bang.
Dead.
Oh. Caitlin Stark, not good.
The mother of all the Starks.
The entire Gone. Stark army.
Done.
Done. Is this over? Is it over?
Oh, no.
Because you know what?
It's the end of the. Was it the end of the series?
Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah, yeah. What's the idea?
Well, the idea is you've got to get.
Don't we have to go to something now?
An Iron Throne, yeah.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Well, what we do, we bundle up all the stuff throughout the week, and we want to thank Maddie Dow on the Pots and Pans who does this. This is our week in review.
We started the week on Kennedy Molloy with tales from the show's break.
Jane's been on an adventure.
I went to Uganda with one of our kids to see the mountain gorillas. God, they're
huge. Was it a guy in a gorilla suit? Are you sure what you are looking at?
I can't be positive, but...
Is it silverback?
A silverback.
If I had silverback hair, you'd go,
You have got silverback.
You wouldn't hike 4 hours through the impenetrable forest.
I would not. I've got to tell you, they're so handsome. They did remind me of you, by the way.
Hang on. Just compare me to an ape. Do you know what you like to me?
What?
A tipsy Diane Fossey.
Nick, however, had some suspicions about the real purpose of the trip.
Can I say something? And it's just my theory.
What?
But your whole trek was designed to impress Dr. Chris.
I'll tell you what, Chris did say. Because I said I'd been...
Contact, we have got it.
No, he congratulated me.
On the topic of Chris Brown...
Someone's done a study at the Women's Mags and goes, Dr. Chris Brown is selling...
Sells mags.
He would not be liking that.
Surprising to me. I would have thought they'd gone with Dr. Harry Cooper. To me, he ticks more boxes.
While Jane was in Africa, Mick was in New Zealand on a golf trip.
I had a caddy, who probably the hardest working caddy in New Zealand.
Really?
Mate, he covered some ground. I think next time I should probably get Bear Grylls. My caddy had to drink his own urine while looking for my golf ball.
Andrew Hansen from The Chaser dropped by with some winter warming suggestions like the katatsu from Japan.
You know how they don't like chairs, the Japanese? You know they sit on the floor. Yeah. But the table is, this is the genius, it's heated.
I reckon that's a trick on Westerners.
We'll be in the next room. Yeah. Just don't come in there because
beanbags.
You've got a lot of nice sofas and beanbags.
No, 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 this is what we do. It's cultural. Please, take your shoes off and sit on the floor.
It's really uncomfortable.
That's right.
Lee Sales joined us and revealed her favourite interview today.
Renee Zellweger. She walked into the hotel room. Everyone in the room just fell in love with her. She was like this little ray of sunshine that just walked in. I could not have loved her more. She was just funny and self-deprecating.
I love happy stories
like that.
Look and
learn, Jane Kennedy. More of that from you occasionally.
Wednesday was World Emoji Day, and Jane was excited to discover...
Keyboards are getting 59 new emojis.
Wow.
And there's a kangaroo and a mango.
What's the high vis for?
Well, just say, I saw a hot tradie. Then you just do eggplant and...
Yeah.
Do you know what eggplant's for?
Oh, sorry, guys. I'm not up to speed with emojis.
Everyone at home listening right now.
Everybody
fist at the radio going, he doesn't know what the eggplant means.
That's so funny.
Do you know what? That knowledge is somehow valuable to you.
But the week's biggest conundrum occurred after Mick's night out with Robb Sitch.
5:20 I woke up and there's an email from Mick. I mean, on every level, that's weird.
That can't be good.
No.
It said, hi, has Robb got my phone?
I thought I'd lost it. It was stolen.
Really?
It's gone.
I hope somebody who's high tech has not been able to...
Well, I hope so too, because I've said some hateful things about you and Dave.
So until a replacement's found, he's borrowing his mum's mobile.
It's a Samsung from 1991.
That's analog.
Why can you let your mother walk around with that?
I think she's been up to no good. I'm getting some seedy phone calls.
What do you mean?
Hello, pie face. Is that you?
And he's open to all available means of telecommunication.
You were using a public phone.
A public phone?
What are you doing in a public phone? What, with coins?
You're using a public...
Oh, get me coins out. Ding, ding. Oh, hang on.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
Just about done for the week. Thanks to Lucrf, which is an industry super fund only to benefit members. You can read the PDS at lucrf.com.au.
That's a no-brainer.
Right.
Just do that. Don't worry about anything. Give them a call if you don't know what's going on.
You could be anywhere. If you work in one of George's restaurants... And you need
I think that's where they needed to get
jobs.
They needed Lucrf there.
Lucrf will make sure
Everyone's looked after.
Are being made.
Well, that's what their job is. They've got flexible insurance. And
it's a nest egg, Jane.
It is.
It's a nest
everybody
egg.
Everybody needs a nest egg. That's what the nuns told me. Have a nest egg.
Did they?
Yep.
What else do the nuns do?
Quite a lot.
Right.
Yeah. You know I got on well with the nuns.
Did you?
Anyway, back to Luke.
You look like a bit of a nun in the...
Don't you bring it up again because I've told you, stop aging me, you idiots.
You look like a really kind of...
Stop it. If you tell me I look like an old Miranda Devine again...
A real sort of Sister Janet Mead sort of look about you.
Yeah.
That.
Sister Janet Mead,
crazy
I'll take.
Janet Mead. Crazy Janet Mead.
Well, she was a bit.
A bit Rosemary West.
Now, that is insulting. She had a terrible haircut. I won't go with that. Rosemary West.
Hey, but that aside, Lucriff, well done. Yes. We love you. We love
Thank
what you're doing.
Thank you very much for sticking with us.
I'll be thinking with you, Lucriff, over the weekend and going, when I retire, what am I going to do with all the hard-earned winnings? Mm. Thanks.
Good idea.
To the safe, capable hands of Lucriff, who just navigate you through those treacherous waters.
Go to the website.
Something at the end of the day.
lucrf.com.au. That's Lucriff.
I love him. Time to go around the grounds,
Let's
Jane Kennedy.
Speedy Gonzalez
as we side
down.
Off in Melbourne. It's the hot dog day at Luna Park.
What?
Baby.
What? You're kidding.
Oh, who will be this year's top dog? Three rides plus a hot dog.
$27.50.
Oh, count me in.
That
All
sounds
right.
cool.
What else?
All right, in Sydney, the Torrens, which is
What's
the play.
Torrens?
It's a play that our friend, our lovely friend Celia Pecola is in.
Oh, good.
That's at the Drama Theatre, the Sydney Opera House.
Oh, she looks like Mary Poppins or something.
She does look like Mary Poppins. It's a very funny, sassy play. Go and see that one. What's in Adelaide?
In Adelaide. Well, check this out.
What?
One of my all-time favourites. First saw it in New York, then saw it in Melbourne. It's now in Adelaide, The Book of Mormon.
Oh, brilliant.
You
love it.
You saw it overseas
hey,
as well.
Hey, it's no Cats, but I do.
You go to Cats, I'll go to The Book of Mormon. Right. Winner of 9 Tony Awards, including Best Musical.
It's
this
hilarious.
This is the business, Festival Theatre.
So funny and great music. Perth. It's a pickle party.
I beg your pardon.
I'm not joking. It's the Rickles Pickle Party. In celebration of Chef Rick Mandozzi, a new range of amazing pickles.
And I love a Rickles Pickle Party.
It's all going on at the local hotel in Fremantle on Sunday.
Rick pays his staff. I know that. Pays him in pickles.
I'm sure he does. In pickles, yes.
Hey, Brisbane, you're not left out. Triple M rocks Tattersall's race day.
Oh, racing.
A Triple M race day.
Oh,
why aren't we there?
At Eagle Farm.
At Eagle Farm. Why aren't we there?
Tomorrow.
I should be riding in the third.
Yeah. You're in a movie about horses.
Well, you know I know a lot about horses, Dave.
Yeah.
I am.
You're in that movie.
I'm like a really sexy Peter Moody in the film.
Hey, Tattersall's is generously offering tickets to Triple M Rocks Tattersall Race Day at a discount rate of 2-for-1 tickets online. All you need to do is use the promo code ROCK.
Awesome.
It involved Hobart. Mm. It's the Salon Cubano.
Oh, hello,
in
ladies.
The Cuban room, an evening of Cuban salsa music. I'm a good salsa dancer.
I don't think so.
It's in the heart of Hobart. And ladies, pitch your midriff
that
to
sounds
mine
lovely.
While I put the hand on the small of your back and just glide you around the room.
Okay. And bring your mace. And Newcastle, Rock of Ages, stage spectacular
what?
Rock of Ages. Don't stop believing.
Good stuff.
Thank
next
you,
week,
everyone.
Tom Gleiser, Matt Preston, Denise Scott, Russell Howcroft.
Alrighty.
That'll be next week's Kennedy
Thanks,
Malloy.
Hold on, everybody.
Now that the Kennedy Malloy podcast is all done, time to think about tracking down that lost super. Industry-firm Lucriff Super can help you do it. Read the PDS at lucrf.com.au.